Welcome, everyone, to The Sixth Sense with Tara Ventura, psychic numerologist and channel. She assists you to envision your potential and discover your unique voice, bringing lively, purposeful, and spiritual topics to the table. Relax and enjoy with an open heart, bringing fun, insight, and captivating viewpoints. Here now is Tara Ventura.
Welcome, 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 my fellow compassionate beings. This is The Sixth Sense, Tara Ventura speaking. I am delighted to have you listen in today. You know, recently I was talking to my dear friend, Cynthia Siegel, and she is ranked in the top 20 in the United States as far as best and most trusted psychics. Don't you love it? And, you know, she recently asked me, what is your dream? What do you want to do? And so, my dear listeners, I'm asking you, what is it that you dream about doing? What is in your heart space? What do you feel like? You know, sometimes we see other people doing things or listening to them or seeing them, and they're like, you know what? I could do that. I could do that. I want to do that. But boy, that would require me stepping out of my comfort box. Well, you know what? You can do it too. That's the whole thing. So let me tell you what my dream is. Mine is to do public speaking, to be a public speaker, and help people envision their potential. It's called Envision Your Potential, and to live your dreams. So how can I help you do that? Let me know, okay? Because I want to help you make your dreams a reality. All right. Very good. And so now I want to introduce my first guest. And his name is Joel Ayala. And I know he'll forgive me for this. I know he'll forgive me for this introduction. Joel Ayala Ayapanya. Joel is a veteran of the United States Air Force. He's a registered nurse. He's a motivational speaker. He's a talk show host of his new online talk show on BBS. We have that in common. It's called Quantum Mindfulness Radio. He's a writer for many magazines. He's an officiant and the author of his newly released book, The Book of Positive Light, Remembrance of the Heart. Oh, and that just, oh, I love that name. It just makes my heart melt. Hello, Joel.
Hello. Hello, Tara. Thank you. I love what you do here, dear friend. And I am so honored to be here. Thank you for having me here on the show.
Thank you so much, Joel. I'm honored for you to be here and to give us your time and your background and your knowledge. And like I said, we're fellow compadres on the BBS station, and I'm just so excited about what we're going to talk about today. You have so many different topics, and so we'll hone in on them as, you know, as much as we can. And I want to ask you, Joel, first off, tell me a little bit about yourself, you know, outside of what you do from book writing and in talk show interviews. What do you do with your life?
Well, yes, Tara, just as you had mentioned previously, I am a veteran of the United States Air Force, and I had served indeed between 1991 to 95, and what you had also mentioned earlier, I am also a psychiatry nurse, and I have been so synchronistically enough for the last 11 years, and as far as what you and I know about the significance of the number 11 since we are you're a little bit more versed than I am. I'm just new within the whole numbers type of thing. But just the significance of the number 11 is huge, the whole awakening process for me. And just to continue on. Oh, isn't it? Wouldn't you say?
I would say. And what? How do you feel about that? Give me your take on it. How do you feel about the significance of the numbers?
Well, the number 11, and I guess we could talk about that now, in short, is for the most part, from what I know and understand with the number 11, it is a symbolic representation of manifestation. So essentially, many people who see 11, they usually make a wish, or at least that's what I do. But on the other portion of things with the number 11, it usually means within the world of numerology and with metaphysics is that it is a time of awakening. It is a time prompt which compels you to literally awaken. And at the time when you see the 11th or the 111 or the 1111, for me, it was something that was very significant. Often, I would brush it off to the side. Many people would do the same. And I simply didn't know what it was, but I knew within my heart that it meant something. So I often would focus on my thoughts. And when I would often look into it even further, and that was exactly what the information was. You would have to look at your current ways of thinking for that very moment, and then to actually gravitate towards the more positive end of things, as opposed to the older ways of looking at things negatively. And before you knew it, you resonate towards that type of vibration.
And, isn't that
with the law of reciprocity? Brings more wealth to you.
It does. It really does. Isn't that interesting? You know, the 1111 and the multiple ones, and this will give away my age, but probably 25, 30 years ago, my husband and I were living in Dallas, and he started noticing on the clock first, and then I would know, and we were just always noticing it. And this is a little bit before the time when people were talking about it all the time. Now it's, you know, 111, 1111, you know, it comes up quite a bit.
Right.
But we would, you know, we'd just kind of giggle about it and think, well, you know, whatever, it's what it is. But yeah, this is, it does. It has to do with what you're thinking at the time. And we always want to keep those positive thoughts in mind so that the positive outcome will come. It's manifesting. We're spiritual beings, but we're manifesting pretty darn quickly right now, wouldn't you say?
Oh yes, yes. I had a few interviews with many authors and many intuitives of the like, and more specifically with Dr. Edwige as well from a few weeks ago. Excuse me, and we talked about this phenomenon of time thinning within itself. And really, I didn't really become too exposed to what that was all about. But then there was a word for it too as well, the quickening of things. And so as time seems to speed up, we have to take that responsibility to know where we stand.
Where we stand, right.
In vibration.
In vibration.
We have to manifest within our hearts, yes.
What's in our hearts. Exactly. And I want everyone to hold that thought. We're going to take a very quick break, and we will be back in just a few seconds. Well, welcome back, everyone. This is Tara Ventura, The Sixth Sense, and I'm speaking with Joel Iapana. And Joel and I were just speaking about the significant numbers that so many people are seeing right now, the 1111s and so forth and so on. And Joel was just saying about watching your thoughts and coming from the heart place. I think that's a big thing with both of us and, of course, many others as well. But don't you feel like that's what's going on right now, is that we're really feeling, we're emotional beings and we're feeling what's in our heart and how we can make that happen, correct?
Oh, yes. I definitely would have to agree. I believe this is a changing of times. And from what we had known for it to be from a few years back, we often... I guess the popular media kind of, you know, conclusion of things that they have fairly helped out with the fear of 2012 and that phenomenon. And mm-hmm. in all actuality, from just doing research and just feeling from within the heart that these are times of great times, that there's reason why we are currently here within this place and why we have chosen, yes, we have chosen to come into this type of place and within these embodiments of ourselves to help out with the raising of consciousness. And from what had happened in 2012, well, more specifically in 2011, we had concluded one cycle of an age, and now we are starting or beginning a new age. And this is why many of us, people in general, are just feeling so many things happening right now. A lot of conflict. Well, because, you know, we are facing or saying goodbye to our old self of things, and now we are more or less gravitating towards our hearts. And, of course, there's going to be conflict, right? And
right.
So the whole thing right now is about truth. It's about learning your passion for rediscovering, remembering who we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is very important, and you're right. I mean, it seems like to so many people, and yeah, all of us included, that a lot of structures are breaking down outside of us, but also we feel like we're changing, and we are changing. Our DNA is changing, and so many different things. So if you're feeling that way, then, you know, hang on, go with the flow. It is all going to be better. It's all going to be more of a divine feeling. Don't you feel like that, Joel? More of a closer to who we are.
It's divine. Yeah, mm-hmm. I would have to agree. For me, and how it all started, I guess it was the most difficult of times. I guess just to go a little, a few years back and gravitating towards 2009, I had actually gone through a divorce, and that was a very difficult time for me. It was an emotional period of time, and for which I had to really look not outside of things, because really there was too much clutter. There was just too much emotion, too much illusion going from outside of me. And I really and truly felt that I was in an abyss of things, in a hole where there was a darkness. And I knew from within myself that there was something more. And just looking afar from that deep, you know, dark hole, there was a light. But when I closed my eyes and just basically gravitated towards myself, I started to realize that there was a light within, and that light was within me. And so then from that very point, that's when I started the journey. And this is funny, I tell this story all the time. And I went to, in 2009, late 2009, just a month after my divorce was officialized, I went to Times Square on New Year's Eve, and I went there by myself. And this was after I had asked so many people, friends and family, to come with me, and they had actually said no. And you know, I was okay with it, but I did not want to ruin that opportunity. So I went down there, and I went on my own. And I mean, wouldn't you know, everyone from all around me came with family, friends, and I was there by myself. But in all actuality, by the time the ball had dropped, I started to realize something about myself. And that was exactly what it was, myself. And from people who know that the beauty of New Year's Eve, the very person that you would spend the rest of your life with, or even for that following year, you would get to know
is yourself.
And start to form a relationship, right? And I did that with myself.
Wow, that's awesome, because, you know, so many people, honestly, you're right, so many people feel like they need to spend New Year's Eve with someone, and it feels lonely if they don't. In fact, I was just talking to someone the other day, and she didn't know how she was going to spend it. But, you know, say you spend it with yourself, and you celebrate the glory of your light and your divine being. That's awesome. That's awesome stuff, Joel. Thank you for sharing.
And the the thing of the matter is anybody can do this. It just takes a great deal of courage to do so. And I know when I actually went down there on my own, I thought I had some looks, and of course, who knows, maybe those looks weren't even real, but just the type of perception that I've seen myself. Well, I know that people are looking, wanting to be alone, and, you know, to stand mm-hmm. here for hours with us, you know. And just within that area, everybody was just crowded within that space. And so
wow.
Everybody got to know each other, not personally per se, but just, just within their own physical self.
You know, maybe too, a heart-to-heart, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting when we're around a group of people for amount of time and we all have something in common, with whether it's celebrating life or celebrating, like you said, New Year's Eve, then that there's a commonality and we feel close to them. So, yeah, that's really an amazing story.
Yeah.
Wow. And so from just being exposed to all that you're currently doing now as we speak, and from, you know, you're doing motivational speaking and you're marketing your new book. It's called, again, The Book of Positive Light. You're promoting other people and newer ideas on your new talk show, Quantum Mindfulness Radio. How did it all start with you? The awakening of sorts. Is that pretty much, was that one of them? 2009 is when you went to the ball, or New York, and saw the ball dropped. Was that when that started?
Yeah, that was actually one of the times. But in all honesty, it all began when I was, just going back to the previous question, what I do for a living outside of the book and promoting other people through this publishing company that I have, and also with the talk show. By trade, a psychiatry nurse, and I work at one of the more well-esteemed psychiatry hospitals in northeastern Ohio, and I work with many people with variable psychiatric diagnosis, of course, with major depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, addiction, and so, you know, just being within that environment, I was exposed constantly of many different people with different types mm-hmm. of ailments and emotional disorders. And I was no different at that time. And I found myself in a rut during that time of emotional breakdown, being within a divorce. But something happened that night, specifically. And at that time, I was working a late-night shift. And
you know what, Joe? Hold on. Just a moment. We're going to take, I want you to hold that thought that you were working a late night shift, because the viewers want to hear this. We're going to take a very short break, and we will be right back. Hold on. We'll be right back with Joel. Okay, thank you. Welcome back, Tara Ventura with Joel Ayapana. And Joel, you were just saying you were working, you're a nurse, you were a nurse, and you were working a late night shift. So tell us about that.
I was working a late night shift, and of course, just having the whole situation of the emotions and knowing that I was going through a life change with everything that was going on, especially with the divorce. I was just sitting there and just feeling pitiful about myself. And there was something that came along during that very moment, and I was just perusing through a magazine. It might sound just ordinary, but in many ways, it was a paradox in itself. It was extraordinary within that very moment when I just looked through this magazine. And just turning just one page to the next, I came across this panoramic view, and it was Machu Picchu, Peru. And I just stared at that view, that panoramic, for such a long time, and I knew from within my heart I had to go to this place. And just that in itself, just the the intonation, the very intention, the thought of going to that place, it sparked something from within me. And that led in itself for one journey, for one intention, for one person to the next. And it brought me to many wonderful places, to the Serpent Mound in Adams County, Ohio, to San Francisco, to the Hopi Mesas in Sedona, Arizona, and to Chichen Itza, and then finally down to Machu Picchu, Peru, later that following year. And it was just one of the most amazing things, just to know when I was on top of that peak, up in the Andes, and then just to think over a year ago prior that was just an intention. And just the
right
miracle, the magic, the alchemy of it all just came to manifest.
That is really amazing, because you know, that is a very spiritual feeling, and I'm sure very much a high, a natural high, right?
Oh, yes, it was very much a high. But again, the high came from within, and it was something that I had never felt before. Right?
Mm. That is really something. And so all of this has led to the creation and the writing of your book, the Book of Positive Light. Is that essentially what the book is about?
Oh, yeah. And this book within itself is essentially a journal. It's a memoir of a collective ensemble of traditional poetry, nanette, haiku, and then creative short story writing that essentially chronicles my own internal insights that I had gathered between October 2011 to July 2013. And this came through the manifestation of synchronicity. And the very messages that have been retrieved from source, from what you may or whatever call it, the unified field of consciousness. And I was able to successfully retrieve this wisdom through the very doorways of my opening heart. And this would usually come through from deep in meditation, releasing workouts, after experiencing even perhaps the beauty of an inspiring sunrise. Once I would experience a heightened type of behavior or intention, I would immediately write within my journal. And that is exactly what this book is, a journal. And the thing of the matter is, it's a place where you can take notes and to archive the things that you have done of higher vibration, of higher behavior, of higher types of meditation. And then when you exude that vibration, you essentially become a magnet of that sensory, whatever it may be, whether it's positive or negative. But within this particular moment, within this cycle of my life, I chose the positive, and I only got that back in return. And it came in the form of meeting different people, more events of the like, coming into my very space, and just one opportunity to the next. And it has led me to CBS Radio, and I'm right here, right before you. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know. It's wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, you've mentioned, I think now twice, and this was something I was going to bring up too as well. So it's kind of funny. You've mentioned the word synchronicity twice, and it sounds like, yeah, what you were just saying, this is a series of events that one led to another, led to another, led to another. And if, you know, when people open their hearts and just say, I'm open, universe, and it sounds like it's at the point that you did, one was New Year's Eve and the other was, you know, being in Peru, that the synchronicities have continued to just fall in place for you without even having to, you know, say, okay, I need this timeline, this, you know, this time frame. It's all going to happen. It's a continuous flow for you, correct?
Oh, yes. You said it right. From what many people have conversed with me, it's the flow. And I don't know if you've had Greg Braden, who is another wonderful author, motivational speaker himself. But he made mention from many of his motivational speaking events of how to manifest things. And essentially to do so, it is not just the intention or the thought. And I mean, it is.
With emotion.
And once you are able to, yes, you have to feel that, like, it's happening. It's already here. It's not going to be here. It's here already.
It's here.
And then you're pushing that emotion. Yes.
That's right.
You do so.
Right. You know, I totally agree. And I've mentioned this maybe on the air before, but when I meditate in the morning, it's not only visualizing, but it's feeling it. It's actually touching, smelling, hearing. You know, it's emotion of the heart. So I totally agree with you on that. Yeah, in fact, I love Greg Braden. He was here in Austin a couple of years ago. I went to see him, and then I did one of his, I'll say the Divine Matrix. I did a class on that. So he's wonderful. Now, you know, I'm also a numerologist. So, and we've talked about repeating. and I love sacred geometry. We've talked a little bit about numerology, but it had a lot to do with your journey. Is that part of what we were talking about, but also the guidance of your journey to people, places, and things?
Well, for the very many few who have read the very conclusion of the book, and there's only a few, I believe there's maybe one or two that have actually concluded, but to think that they had actually gotten the gist of it, I'm not really certain. Just through the response. But again, this book in itself is within its infancy as far as its own evolution. If anything, I believe it's a book about for the light workers in themselves and reaching a sort of validation. As far as the unawakened, I'm really unsure that it exists for them, essentially, within the stage. But for the light worker who is questioning, who is wanting validation, this is for them, in all honesty.
And, yeah, it's for them.
It will come to you when the time's right. And so the significance of numbers within itself, the repeating numbers, and it's not only the 11s or 111s or the 1111s, but this week, just waiting upon our conversation today, just a magnificent inflow of repeating numbers. I would always be 2, 2, 2.
Three, three, three.
You're right. Of Christ consciousness.
Uh-huh.
4, 4, 4. The angelic.
The angels. Right.
Absolutely. 1, 2,
isn't
3,
it,
right? Another one?
Yeah.
4, 5, 6.
Right. Isn't it fun to see those? Because
it just comes to you at the same time. Doesn't it, Tara? Do you experience these numbers all the time?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And in fact, just I think it was day before yesterday, I saw the 444. And it was at a time when I was really feeling like, you know, I was having an okay day. The day was fine, but it's just like, I had something I needed to take care of. And all of a sudden, I looked at the clock, you know, wasn't even wanting to know what time it was. It was 444. Okay, the angels are with me. So I feel, you know, feeling better. Okay, Joel, we're going to take a very short break and we'll be right back with you because this is interesting stuff. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Joel Ayana on the line with me, and he is, boy, he has done a lot. I tell you what, he's been a nurse, he's a motivational speaker. He is on BBS. He has a radio show called Quantum Mindfulness, and he's written a book, The Book of Positive Light. And anyone who wants to call in and ask Joel a question or just speak to him about your experiences, we would love for you to do so. The call-in number is 888-627-6008. So we would love for you to call in. And I want to ask you, Joel, do you feel that the very answer that you've been looking for was found at any of these wonderful and magical places and events? I mean, you've been to so many awesome places, the Yucatan and you know, the Peru and all of these places that you've been, has this led you on journeys that you never thought would have been possible?
Oh, Dara, wonderful question. And Dave, thank you for asking this question. I was hoping that you would answer this question
for me.
Yes. Well, in actuality, I was truly, indeed, looking for the answer from outside of myself tonight. And from this journey within itself, from traveling through the Mare Woods in San Francisco to a place of nature, I thought the answer would be there. Sedona, Arizona, when I was called upon that very plateau on Cathedral Rock in meditation, and I was performing my Kundalini practice of yoga. And I was there, Tara, on the 11-11-11 on that very
magical
meditation.
Right.
Very magical. Very, very magical, Sedona. And later, within a few days, I went to the Hopi Mesa in northern Arizona as well. The Great Serpent Mound of Adams County in 2012. And even though I would have thought that the answer would have lied at the very finish line of the Rite Aid Full Marathon in Cleveland in 2012, the full marathon, 26 miles. And even the very answer that I thought was there at Machu Picchu in 2013. Chichen Itza, Mexico, in the Yucatan, 2013, that same year. And believe me, all of these places, these events, are such wonderful experiences that I chronicle within this book, the Book of Positive Light. But ultimately, Tara, I ultimately found the answer from within. The answer comes from within. Everything became clear. And within, it is very simplistic. There was power through simplicity. The power came from within, the zero point of things, according to quantum theory. And in the merely looking from within, it essentially revealed the philosophy of ancient Greece, the very essence of what the mystery schools of Pythagoras were all about, the Delphi mystery, and for which it resonates, know thyself and thy wilt know the universe and the God. And I love saying this quote. And one of the quotes which had truly resonated with me, as written by Pythagoras himself, is this: evolution is the law of life. Numbers are the laws of the universe, and unity is the law of God. And this has been truly part of my mantra for my life at the very moment.
I love that. I love that. It can really resonate with it. That's interesting. So all of these places that you've been, I love talking about this, all of these wonderful spiritual places and spaces you've been have enhanced, not necessarily they've enhanced you, but really the deepening of where you come from is inside of you, your light, right? That's where you're, that's... Go ahead. What?
Yes, the internal light, and it is for the most part about focus and intention. That there is an internal light within inside of you, within every one of us, and how we shine that light at whatever we focus on determines what happens next, determines what manifests. According to quantum theory and. I would love to have Rupert Sheldrake out there. I'm putting out there into the universe as an invitation for our shows here on BBS. Please come, please come. But for the most part, everything is fields. And within these fields are limitless multiverses of potentiality. And there are negative fields and there are positive. And then there's other ones that are neutral in nature. And so, with me, I do like to make the choice of creating my own field of things. And this comes to support the theory of morphic resonance, according to Rupert Sheldrake, and to which within that field are these receptors which exudes an energy and retrieves energy back in return. And everything is all energetic, and there is no such thing as a positive or negative. It just is. It is what we attach to that energy that determines the alchemy of it and how it manifests. And so, with that being said, you know, whatever we put out there, we can get back in return. And so, how we go into these fields and how we focus that light determines what comes to be.
And what comes
again, when we talked about earlier about the quickening of things, time is spinning. And so we must always be within the heart, and we must be conscious of that at all times.
At all times. Well, you know, okay, so this brings up an interesting topic. I love how you say you create your field. So that gives us all of the power, not power over other people, but inner power to truly create our life. So do you have any suggestions on maybe how you do it? How do you create your field?
Wonderful question. Thank you, Tara. Wonderful question. This comes to my conversation with the fabulous Diane Collins, which I had talked to her just a few days ago, and she had written the book, Do You Quantum Think? And the one part of her book, the one chapter that truly resonated with me was within the four aspects of knowing. And this is totally revolutionary. And once you are able to find the awareness within yourself to gravitate towards that knowing, it can ultimately change your life. And it is essentially about the embodiment of knowing, of awareness of where you are within this space. And so much of us, in all actuality, are coming out of this unawareness of things. And why is there so many revolutions out there? Why is there so much awareness about truth and about the lies of things, about why there are things out there and the governmental type of things? Why are we questioning that?
Yeah.
It's because we are coming out of unawareness. We are awakening.
We're awakening.
This is a golden age of awakening, right? Absolutely.
Yes.
And so people are coming out of that state of unawareness at first stage. And now that we are exposed to many of the work, such as yourself, thank you, Tara, for all that you do, and the work that you do in spreading that light, that awareness, now many of people, I say, closer to the majority, they're being exposed to the conceptual and the intuitive realms of the stages of the aspects of knowing. They're exposed to the concept that possibly there's a truth out there, that there's possibly more to life than what is being lied to us or provided to us in illusion. And so once we are able to take that concept, that potentiality, and then converting it to our experiences and making parallels, now we are getting into the realms between the intuitive aspects of knowing, and now we can potentially get into the participative state of knowing. And it's all about the art of differentiation.
I love that. Let's take a real quick break, because I want to go into the intuitive and the participative. So I'm going to take the last few second break, and we will be right back. Hold on just a moment. Thank you. Welcome back, folks. This is Tara Ventura, and we are speaking with Joel. He has written a wonderful book called The Book of Positive Light. And we're talking about being in the flow and creating your field, your own energy field. We don't have to be reactors. We can make our own life happen. We can create our life. And Joel was just saying, from going to the intuitive part to the participating part. So can you elaborate on that a little bit, Joel?
Oh, yes, definitely. The prior, we'll just talk about the previous stages just real briefly. The unawareness stage, which a lot of people in unawakening are in, and it's starting to snap out of that. And then the concept and the exposure of people of the light, the workers of the light, the rainbow, the warriors of things, exposing more of that light upon the darkness, then at that particular point, you have the concept beyond the limitations of the illusion that's put out there and the withholding of consciousness. And then once we are exposed to that concept of truth, we start to question within our own lives, is there truth that I see, or is that the illusion? And once we start to snap out of that, that sort of, I don't even like to feed more into that construct that was in the mind control of people. I'm just using that as a construct.
Right.
But once we start to make parallels, once we make parallels, we are in the know. We are in the know. And then we have a responsibility to be a participant in exposing more of that positive light, focusing that intention of that light to manifest.
Of that light.
That's what it's all about.
Right. So it's an awareness and then a knowing and a trusting and participating in it. It feels totally different in one way, and yet it feels so much better. It just feels right. It feels like home, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing about life, Tara. It's the life that we live now. It's a paradox. Once you think it's one thing, and then you start to internalize and flip it, that's not the answer yet. You have to flip it a couple more times, and then you might get, you know, what you're looking for. But then it's always evolving, and that's the beauty of what this thing is, of this life. It's a puzzle, yes, but once you get the puzzle, you feel good, you know? You feel, wow,
right. you're saying, maybe I can put this puzzle together. Be a participant
myself,
in this puzzle.
You know?
Instead of fighting it, or you know, just let all of that go and go with the flow here. And so the message of the book that you want for your readers to retrieve and absorb. So what is it that you really want people to understand about your book?
The message of the book, I would have to say, would be to, of course, look from within. And if you have only seen or read the book superficially for what it is, it is not all about me.
Well, yeah, it sounds like there are pages for people to take notes. Am I correct on that?
There's plenty of space, and I do. In actuality, I'm reading it again as we speak, and I'm learning from it. Just as you
just love it. Right.
but definitely that would be something to note for further additions for the book. But there's plenty of space because there is much poetry, much creative writing as well, and to where you can take notes. And please do, if you should so read the book, please take notes. And it is not about taking notes about me and my accomplishments. No, it is essentially a blueprint, a template, and that is what in parallel with numerology is all about, figuring out your blueprint and looking within. And this is essentially a book, and it has many pictures, that can kind of, if the words don't get to you, perhaps even the pictures and the inspiring imagery can go and spark you up to where it takes you to your own place of warmth and comfort within the heart. And this book, in essence, is to look within, to journal, and to dissipate the illusion and the clutter from outside of ourselves, and to do the things that make you feel happy, that you think brings you to a place of happiness and to where you can express that happiness. And again, you cannot do so by making another person happy. Or
that's right.
Gathering things that make you happy. The happiness is within you. It is a choice. And then once you are able to do that, I love telling my patients this, the only way, and this is the message that I want many of your listeners to know, and including mine, is to, the only way that you can change your environment, your landscape, is by changing within. And then the universe, your very landscape, your environment, the fields all around you have no other choice but to change because of the example that you have portrayed for yourself. And so if anything, love, be kind, be non-reactive towards the the negativity, and I get that from my wife. That was a quotation from my wife. And my wife did the name. She's the editor of the book.
Oh, that's funny. That is, yeah. I mean, it's it is about being positive. It is seeing things in a positive light, so that you can move forward. And knowing that change is will and always will be. Again, it's not. It's how we handle it. It's not that it's going to happen or not. It will happen. And being in tune with that and really enjoying it. And so, you know, I've also noticed at the end of your book, it contains a high portion of numerology. And does it, aside from what we've talked about, does it pertain to any other take on numerology at the end of your book? Is there anything else that we haven't talked about on that?
Oh yes. I wasn't really sure if we were going to have enough time for that, but since we are, and I'm not really sure whether you're proving to or you have been entertained with your interest on the Divine Triangle. Have you been exposed to that at school of numerology?
Yes, in fact, I have.
Wow. Wonderful. Yeah. I know we are totally in alignment, and we have to talk after the show.
I think so.
yes, I think so. We have so much in common and in parallel. And I know you are a well-versed numerologist, and for me, just for the last few years, and I'm so in tune to it that I'm ready for a deepened type of understanding of it. But for the most part, and this is funny. I thought that Machu Picchu would actually be the concluding segment of my book, but it was a wonderful experience. Yes, very alchemic and magical in nature. But for the most part, I thought that was it. But then when I had come back home with my dear wife, and we had came back from Chichen Itza, Mexico, but we had just remember that a very freak type of event that happened on our way to Chichen Itza during our 1.5-hour trip out to the Yucatan. And we were in the province of Quintana Roo within that area. And we looked up in the sky, and this was that right after we were given a handout of the symbolic representation of Quetzalcoatl. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with Quetzalcoatl and its representation, symbolically, it seems to be in line, which is going downwards, and it makes a sudden right with a sharp turn, and then down is more than to the left. And so, in essence, it looks like an upside-down P. But for the Mayan type of cosmology, it's representative of the Mesoamerican deity from the Nahuatl language, and it represents the feathered serpent. In all aspects of things, it also represents the return of Christ consciousness as well. We have seen the geometric form in the sky, and it was very much so within those skies on that very day, at very right 90-degree angles. And we were looking in the sky to see if there was any planes up there making images, and there was none. And the more that we looked into it, we even saw the representation of Quetzalcoatl within the walls of Chichen Itza. And then just the whole energy of it, it seemed very magnificent. And then when we came home, I was compelled to go to the bookstore, and I went to the bookstore, and I was led straight to an aisle, and I didn't look at any book except for this very book that was in the center of the aisle, and it was just right there. At aisle.
Of course.
And it was a book by Gervaine Faith and Dusty Bunker. It is referred to as Numerology and the Divine Triangle. And so we had taken pictures of that image, and it's in the book. It's in the concluding portion of the book. Mm-hmm. And if you were to take that imagery and to superimpose it on the image of that was right in the very front of this book, Numerology and the Divine Triangle, it basically aligned itself right on top. And the image that was right on top was the Divine Triangle. And,
wow.
And who had made it, who had actually provided the remembrance of the sacred geometry to us, it was Pythagoras. Okay. Now,
Pythagoras. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The mystery schools of Pythagoras, the mystery schools of the messages of Delphi. And, of course, Pythagoras was given his name from the Oracle of Delphi. And Pythagoras Python, that in itself refers to...
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Another truth in Quetzalcoatl, right?
Oh, my gosh.
And get this, Tara. Where did I go to earlier that year in 2012 in February? If you're going to look in the very pages of that book, I was led to the Great Serpent Mound of Adams County, Ohio.
Oh,
The Great
Serpent Mound in Ohio.
A very prominent individual. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And please do check into the research by Douglas Roth Hamilton. He has written many books focusing upon that sacred ancient site and how well it aligns with not only with the sky, but as well with the flower of life, with the other sacred sites of the planet. And it also relates to the Divine Triangle as well. It interconnects and aligns with the very meridian point of the Divine Triangle. And again, that is very synchronistic in nature also, as well as a paradox of things. So what do you think of that?
I think that's awesome. In fact, I'm getting chills up and down my body thinking how incredible is that, right? That they're in alignment with. Wow.
Right.
And that you were led to this book in the middle of an aisle.
Right.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just thinking right now, I'm looking at the date today. What is today's date? According to numerology, what does that add up to?
Right. And I saw your post. It's, 1, 2, 3. Let's see, what is it? I have it written down here.
It is December 14th, 2014, right?
Right.
And so it adds up to the 15-6 vibration. 6 is also representative today of the Christ consciousness. And it also aligns itself with numerology, with Chichen Itza, with Quetzalcoatl. It also aligns itself well symbolically with the number 6 as well. Again, another synchronistic intonation.
Oh, wow. And I'm so glad you're on today. I love the number 6. And when I see the number 33, 6, 3 and 3 is 6. But when someone has like a birth path,
right,
it's heart of God. And it's just such the sweetest.
Yes.
I just love to see it. Wow, Joel, this is so fascinating. We have just another minute or two, and so I want to ask you, do you have any future creations or works that you have individually set for yourself for the next years to come?
Any new items
adding to the bucket list?
Oh, yes. It just keeps on adding on. If anything, piling on. Currently, I am working on my second book, as we speak, on the other side of the glass, A Quantum Leap Approach to the Path of Resiliency, the Authentic Self into an Evolving Awareness to Perceptual Modification and Altruistic Change. Of course, all of that, bulk of it is after the moment.
mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I'm working on that book as we speak, hopefully trying to get it out there by the end of 2015, the beginning of 2016.
Fantastic.
It's about quantum theory, philosophy, and spirituality. So it is allowing ourselves the exposure to tools and heightening awareness and allowing ourselves to differentiate between the old and world of things to what we dream for us to be within that world. And for those of you of whom would be interested in purchasing my new book, The Book of Positive Light, Remembrance of the Heart, please log on to my audiobook publishing company entitled Perpetual Paradigm Publishing. So for the many authors out there of whom are interested in converting their precious hardcover or paperback books to audiobook, please inquire with Ben and check out the new website for this wonderful, wonderful potential type of tool that many authors can use at www.perpetualparadoxpublishing.com. And for those of you who would be interested in tuning in on my new online radio talk show, please do. I am also on the BBS Radio Network on Quantum Mindfulness Radio. And thank you so much, Colin, for this invitation. Yes, we do have to talk about this show and converse more about it.
I know we have so much in common. I love it. Thank you so much, and everyone. I hope you wrote down his websites and how to get in touch with him, and his show Quantum Mindfulness. Joel, it's just been wonderful having you on. I love your heart and where you're coming from. I can feel you, and it's special. So thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you,
sir. You're so welcome.
Thank you so much.
And anyone who wants to contact me, I talked earlier in the program about what is your dream. You can reach me at themagicalmatrix@gmail.com or give me a call. 512-203-6320. This wraps up our show today. I'm such a special place in my heart for Joel and his work, and look forward to hearing and talking to you next time. Have a wonderful week, my friends. Namaste. Bye-bye.